From the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio, it's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
LandryFootball.com. We will let you know how you can get everything he supplies content-wise, whether it's the pro game, whether it's the college game, whether it's recruiting, whether it's the draft, team-by-team information. It's all there. LandryFootball.com will have him opine on it. First off, Mr. Landry, how you doing, sir?
I'm hanging in there. Old, fat, and ugly, but otherwise, surviving.
Chris was off last week, had some surgery. Your voice is strong, though. You sound good.
I don't know if my voice has ever sounded good, Bill, but I thank you. I don't have the Bill King genes, so I do what I can do.
Oh man.
Good to be with you, though, man. Good to be with you.
So during surgery, when you were about half out of it, did the surgeon ask you about name, image, likeness? Did that come up at all?
No, but I tell you what, I caught a little bit last night, but it was in the middle of it, and I'm going to go back and watch it at some point, maybe tonight. You know, C-SPAN, which I admit I know what it is, but I've never watched it. They had a committee meeting or whatever it was. It was maybe a couple hours or something. I taped it because I saw where it was going to be replayed at like 1 in the morning, and so I'll go back and watch it. I think Mark Few was there, Mark Emmert, but I did catch a little bit of it. My God, some of our members of Congress are some of the biggest idiots ever. You wonder where our country's going to hell and but anyway, so I'm curious to see, you know, if there's anything that's coming out of that. But I think the real issue is, what are the guardrails? What are the regulations? How is this going to play out? Because there's a whole lot of questions, and nobody has any answers right now. It's interesting. And you know my feeling on it, that with the lack of organization, the college football, college athletics has always been very reactive and not proactive. So they don't ever foresee problems or plan for that. They just go with this. They get forced into a certain direction, and then they're having to kind of redirect based upon that. And, you know, you let a lot of people that really don't know anything about how college athletics works say, yeah, well, why not? Let them go make money. Yeah, of course, that sounds good. And there's, you know, nothing wrong with that in theory, but in practicality, it brings up like 9 million different issues that, oh, wow, I never thought of that. I'm like, where, you know, knucklehead, of course. Yeah, so this is going to be real interesting, and it's the beginning of a lot of changes in college football and college athletics that's going to be in the forefront. College football in particular with the with the playoff discussions that are getting more and more. Follow the money. The money is always takes you to what the result's going to be. Somehow, some way, it's just kind of like water sinking its level, Bill. Follow the money, and it will take you where the decisions are going to be eventually. Always, 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 always. No exception.
Yeah, and if it's about the money, which, as you mentioned, it is, then that 12-team model, you would think, and again, I'm reading what you're reading, but it sounds like that's the one that at the moment has the momentum.
There's no question about it. I was having a conversation with in fact, I sent you a text. I don't know if that was 2 weeks ago, last week. And, Scott Woodard, the athletic director over at LSU, was calling, and I was actually staining my fence and trying to get stuff done, and so I was kind of but he was talking to me about a couple of things, and then he mentioned I'm in the middle of a baseball coaching search, and he talked a little bit about that, but we talked a little bit about the playoffs, and you know, not so much about name, image, and likeness, but so the playoffs is going to come down to. It's not, you know, people will talk about, well, I don't, it's not good for the folks. It has nothing to do with anything. You're just kind of talk. It's all about money. And it's all about, okay, how can you make, for example, the Pac-12 championship game, which me and three other people actually watch it, now all of a sudden is going to become more relevant, more of a money-making proposition, because just by the mere fact that it's going to be a de facto playoff game, a entry into the playoffs, that's a bigger game, a bigger moment. Everything throughout the history, Bill, has been about the money. You know, back in the day when you had one college football game on TV, why was that? Because of money. They thought it was going to kill the gate. Then they realized that, well, you know what, more people are interested come into the game because it's hit on TV. Then you started to see more than just one game on a weekend. Then they put a cap on how many teams could play. And then you only had three networks. And then, of course, the cable boom came in. Now you need programming. Well, there's money. And then, of course, Georgia-Oklahoma's lawsuit that allowed each conference to go out and make money. It's all about that. So the playoffs are going to be they follow the NFL model of money. We've now got, why does the NFL expand the playoffs? Because not enough good teams get in it? No, because they've got a triple header Saturday and Sunday, a wild card weekend. And that they can cha-ching, cha-ching, go to the networks and get an extra playoff game, two extra ones. Wow, that's money. Well, I mean, you're a fool out there if you don't think that the college folks are not looking at this because it's the ride by money. Let's make more playoff games and more of this. It's not about, you know, you could talk about being more inclusive and getting more teams involved. Yeah, that's not the motivation. It's the motivation of the ones that are locked out. But the real motivation is, why is everybody going to go along with it? Look, more money, more money, more money. And it's going to create it to be more of a playoff sport. I think the elite games of the college season, while still important, will be less important. Georgia-Clemson is important this year. The loser still has a pretty good chance of making the playoffs in the current format. If it were a 12-team playoff, that game in regards to who makes the playoffs would not matter. It would have something to do with how you're seated once you get there, but both teams would make it. The Kick Six game, which was an elimination game between Auburn and Alabama, both of those teams would have made the playoffs. So those games will still be important, but not as critical. But what will be more, I guess, eyeballs to it is that game with two-loss teams that could still be in a wild card, at-large possibility situation, that game becomes more important, where before they were out of it. Or the 2-3-loss Pac-12 South teams, the UCLA-Colorado game, that all of a sudden they're alive because they could still win the South, and then if they can upset the North team, they could still make the playoffs. Those type of games, I'm not saying they're going to break ratings records, but they're going to get more interest and more at the gate, more TV revenue there, and that's what they're looking for. So that's where we're headed, and I don't know if it's going to be 12, but it sounds like that's what they're thinking about, because it doesn't give up the number of at-large teams that are available to the big-time schools while still giving the automatic berths to the schools that want a seat at the table even in given years when they don't deserve it.
If it's 12, Chris, would 3 or 4 or another number you may pick SEC teams get in on average every year?
I think you've got – it would depend. Obviously, the second best team is. So the winner in the East or the West on the other side's right pretty good. They've got a really good shot. So the conference championship game would be strictly for the conference championship, which is really important. But the probability in the current era anyway, with where the teams are,
yeah,
both of those teams are in it. Now, to your point, who's that third team? All right, well, let's just take this year. You would think that, I'm just going to say, Georgia, Alabama, great shape. But I would think if Florida has a good year, A&M is a really good year, they've got a shot. Would they take 4? Don't know. But 4 would be in the mix. 5 would be in the mix, even if they only take 3. 6 could be in the mix if they're good enough. If you have good, but you know, that's kind of where I see it, because when you start to look at 12, you know, you can say, all right, all the conference champions, but who's the second best team in the Pac-12, in the Big 12, in the ACC? I mean, they better be pretty good, because if not, North Carolina might be a pretty good team, but are they better than A&M? Are they better than Florida? Are they better than LSU? Are they, you know, that could be interesting, and then that's where the politics are going to be. And do we give 2 to a conference if the teams look kind of similar, or do we go with the best teams, which, you know, the SEC folks will tell you that we probably got 4 teams that are better. It's going to be interesting, and there'll be politics that will be debated based upon who gets in within the 12. But one thing is for sure, the debate amongst the teams are not going to be anybody that's really capable realistically of winning a national championship. As we are right now, we don't have 4 that's capable of winning in a given year. But maybe it might make some of those ancillary playoff games a little bit more competitive. It may be competitive between 2 teams that have no chance of winning the title, but it might be competitive, just like maybe a wild card game in the NFL might be really exciting, and you got hopes that you might advance, but the reality is they're probably not Super Bowl teams. That's where I see this going. Like it or not, that's where I see it headed.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Chris, you have a few minutes?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
All right. More of Chris as we continue peering into the future of college football. If you have any questions, post them on Twitter. If it's an NFL question, that's fine. Chris does this around the clock. You cannot surprise him with anything. Post those on Twitter at BillisKing. Thursday edition, Ole Miss Evie will join us. Top of hour number 3, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. They're about to wrap up the situation here with his truck's been up against a wall. Well, it seems like about 3 or 4 hours now here on 65 northbound at Trinity Lane. Yes, it's heavy southbound coming past Trinity Lane. Still on the scene of a crash from earlier, 3400 block of Brick Church Pine. Steady flow of traffic made its way down I-40 right now eastbound coming in from Dixon County up through Kingston Springs. Prince's Hot Chicken is now open inside the Assembly Food Hall near the National Museum of African American Music on Broadway. You can always order online at princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Today on Hey Culligan, buy to save. Here's a text from Devin in Denver. Hey Culligan, I'd love a water softener, but I don't want to pay for it. Devin, I can't help you there, but a Culligan high efficiency softener can help you save oodles on energy and detergent, so the savings can be even greater than the cost. And I'm getting a mind blown emoji followed by, yes please. Devin, the savings are already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
If you're looking to turn the corner in 2021 in a new job with a family-owned business that believes the best way to serve customers is by taking care of its employees first, let me tell you about Goggin Cold Haul. Goggin Cold Haul operates within a 500-mile radius of its Smyrna base and seeks professional drivers to join its team with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. There's weekly home time with no northeast travel and no-touch freight with our late-model Freightliner and Kenworth trucks. A new beginning awaits you in 2021 at Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C, A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
Get into the Bill King Show. Shit, man, I just lost my train of thought. All right, dude, here's a couple of phones. 3, 2. Call 615-844-5600.
Chris Landry with us, LandryFootball.com. We'll let you know how you can get all of his content. Chris, we have expansion. We have name, image, likeness. We also have the craziness of the transfer portal. I saw this stat, and it read like this. Power 5 programs have lost an average of 12 scholarship players to the portal in this year's cycle. Tennessee is number one with 25 of them, but the average per P5 school is 12. And that's, Chris, a area. Now, NCAA in recent years had been more lenient, letting people transfer with no reason at all other than go, but with this new policy, more change and more newness, and your thoughts here.
Well, you know, it's, again, the same thing. Sounds good. The players should be able to go and leave wherever they want. Yeah, that's fine. But understand that the schools can work that to their favor and will. So that means that when you normally offered a kid a scholarship and you put them on scholarship, he stayed on scholarship. And if he didn't turn out to be as good a player, that's on you. And the player can still get his education. Now, transfer rules, we're going to move on, and we're not going to renew your scholarship. Oh, you could. It was always renewable, but you always renewed it because it was poor form to not do so. Now, it is a license to ship guys out the door and So many of those players don't have a home. The grass is always greener. And it is very, very difficult for them to maybe continue their career. And so, again, be careful what you wish for. These are the unintended consequences that people who think, oh, this is, seems like a great idea. You know, it's almost like the teenager that says, you know what, that seems like a good idea to let's graffiti the wall of the mill. You know, it's like they don't think consequences. They don't think that way. These are adults, but because they don't understand the behind-the-curtains working of college football in this case, they don't know how that could negatively affect the players. And for the majority of these players, the transfer portal is a negative. For the ones that you know about and hear about as fans, it will benefit them, but the most of them, it will not. It is a revolving cycle. In fact, I added something to my I was thinking about it as I'm putting all my previews of each of the college teams. The very first thing in the Pulse now is a sequential order of news and notes and analysis from the offseason. Because if you follow in our notebooks every day, we'll keep you up to date on who's transferring and who's visiting and this and that and the other. But if you're following a school, I got the Florida preview up, I got the A&M preview up. If you're following a school, you will, even if you follow it closely, you're going to forget who's left and who's come in. So that's the first thing we're going to do is remind you, you know, here's his, you know, here's his left. Here's what they contributed or the reason why they left. And then here's who's coming in and what they expect them to contribute, because it's very much like we had the theme here with the playoffs being more NFL-like. Tell me how this is anything but college free agency. It is what it is, and that's what's going to happen to the point where, and I told you this, people are actually having specific big meeting rooms that are just like in the – because I've done some of the consulting on this, is how do pro teams organize their pro personnel department and their pro personnel boards. That's what college teams are doing now. So they have a recruiting room, and then they have, for lack of a better term, let's call it a transfer room, a college personnel room, where they literally list players – in the country based upon intel that they would potentially recruit off of college programs. And I think I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, Hawaii, this is hilarious to me because everybody's doing it, but Hawaii had the gall to name a guy on the staff. His official title is Director of Transfer Recruiting. It's his title. And everybody has that type of person now. That's what's going to happen, and that's what is happening, and that's what will continue to happen. And, you know, look, it's that's what it is. These are the results of the decisions that have been made.
Jim in Jupiter says, ask Chris, was part of the reason Marvin Wilson, defensive lineman there, not getting drafted due to the fact that he led a player revolt against Mike Norvell?
Well, yeah. I mean, the guy's not a good guy, and so – a lot of what he did, he's a locker room lawyer. So let's flip it around. The reason why he did it, and he did it publicly, is that he's that type of guy. He's a locker room lawyer. Well, you know, knucklehead, if you're going to be that way, you don't think we're going to know that. You also put on the tape, that guy played like, you know, he was in the locker room and he never came out. This guy has a lot of talent, very little heart, low character. Yeah, that's why. This guy is – perfect example of a guy that maybe five-star talent, first-round talent and ability, played like a free agent. And look, if this guy was a big-time player and he played like it and he was a pain in the rear end, you might be willing to take him a little earlier and think, okay, put him in the right situation. But when you are a locker room lawyer and you don't perform on the field, you become an attitude issue. Who wants that in their locker room? A guy that can't play, that's divisive. I mean, you know, that he's that's why. And of course, somebody will take him late and did because, you know, who knows? Maybe at that point you're dealing with somebody that is either good character that can't play, it's not good enough, or you take a guy and figure, hey, maybe I can change him, which 9 times out of 10 you can't, but on the 1 in 10 chances you can, give it a shot. That's the reason.
Georgia Dog says, Bill, ask Chris how the players added by Kirby Smart affects your perception of Georgia for this year.
Well, I think that they had big needs in the secondary, and I think they've helped there. I think Eric Gilbert can be, assuming that academically he does what he's supposed to do, you know, there's no circle of influence, doesn't cause a problem, this could be a real big weapon, because what it can do formationally with the passing game is, see, what Gilbert's going to be is he's going to be a big slot receiver. Okay, that's the role he's going to play mostly. But you can, because they've got a really, really, got one of the best tight ends in terms of an online tight end in the league. And what you throw in Gilbert, in addition to him, you can run two tight end sets, or you can detach him, or you can run him as a big slot, which is going to be his predominant formation. So you can go to three wides, you can go to two wides. It helps your running game. It creates opportunities down the seam. I think that this is a real positive sign of having enough weapons to do things in the passing game that they have not done before. On defense, I think the additions in the secondary were critical, and getting them up to speed is going to be really important. The front's very good. The secondary is going to have to grow into it. They're a really good team that's got a lot of things going for them. And I think their chances in every game is pretty good.
We can look at the top. Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, those teams, or any other team, P5 team, Chris. You've got two streams of talent acquisition now. You've got recruiting, traditional recruiting, with obviously name, image, likeness becoming part of that too. But if you're Alabama, Nick Saban, you can identify maybe outside linebacker, whatever position you are looking at the next year on, where you're a little thin or not quite where you want to be. And, Chris, you can literally behind the scenes go get you that guy who's already done it on the college level.
Amen. So think about this for a second. Alabama has lots of resources, and they do a great job of evaluating players. But the reality is, Flair can be five-star. He just may not work out. His motivation may wane. He may, you know, find a girlfriend on campus and football's not as important to him. You know, whatever. Something changes. He just doesn't pan out. And it happens at Alabama like it happens anywhere else. Maybe not as much, but it happens. It happens. But as I said earlier, when it does happen, they can do just what you said. They can send that guy off. They can remove him. You're not going to be on the roster anymore. And replace him, basically get another bite at the apple. Yeah, you know what? We could use another linebacker. You're right. And go get a ready-made guy that, and work the situation and work it to your advantage to where maybe you get him for a couple of years as a transfer. It helps you. It allows you to manipulate your roster even more because it allows you to cover up your mistakes even better. You see, in the NFL, free agency is usually bad value because you protect your best players. But free agency is really, the teams that are most active in free agency are the ones that really have not drafted as well. And so they have to go out and find the ready-made guy. But they can't go get any guy. They can only get the guy that's available. But in college, you can go get anybody. There's nobody like, okay, this is the best guy. If you're at a big-time program, most kids would want to go to one of these elite programs. So it's like having free agency in college, but there are no rules that you can't go and get somebody. And don't tell me, oh, you can't contact someone. We know how that is done. There's contact done without, you know, the being traced to the people involved. So think about it. It's free agency where you can go get anybody that wants to come, and there's no like contract involved, because if a kid can leave, he can leave. And if he wants to come to you and you want him, it could be the best player on somebody's team, still could come over to another place, because you know what? we're linebacker you, we're defensive line you, we're defensive back you, we put more guys in the NFL, we're going to compete for championships. So you're absolutely right. So that's when people say the rich get richer, the strong get stronger. This is another example. If you have a bad recruiting class, you do a bad job of evaluating, it will set your program back, and it will probably cause your program to dip a little bit. There are going to be no dips for these elite programs because they can correct their mistakes now where they couldn't do it before. You had a bad recruiting class, you had to live through it. Now you can go out, like you said, and get 1, 2, 5, 6 guys and fill it in. There's no doubt. Oklahoma's made a living off of it recently with key spots.
Absolutely amazing. Chris, tell everybody how they can get all of your information.
LandryFootball.com. All the breakdowns, all the roster analysis. For example, on the college side, the film work and everything, worked through enough of that. We're just banging out. We're going to begin banging out all these previews of all these teams, the roster analysis. Who was the best graded players on each team, on every team last year? And who's coming back, who's not? Again, all the latest news and notes, the projected depth chart, roster analysis of incoming freshmen, the key transfer folks, all of that, we got the breakdowns for you. Probably it's about a dozen to 15 pages for each school. So if you were to think about it in a magazine sense, think about the detail. We're going to have all that for you for everybody. Do it on the NFL side as well. Our notebooks every day, all of our TV shows, our podcasts. We're really joining into a new network agreement that we're going to break out for the football season, part of a bigger football network that we've established. So things are going really good in that side, and we're really excited to everybody check us out. If you like football, you want to get a view from a coaching and scouting perspective, that's what we can provide for you that we think is a little bit unique compared to other things out there. So LandryFootball.com is where you want to go. Still got the scouting season sale up there, so take advantage of it, folks.
Chris, good to have you back, sir.
All right, thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
There we go. Mr. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. If you are deep into it, you want to be involved in all he provides. Take my word on that one. Good points there. The rich, the teams that we hear so much about are making everything so boring for college football, the teams at the talk, the chalky five teams. Now, if there's a mistake or misevaluation or something happens in recruiting to some players in a particular class, you can go out and get somebody that you've already seen do it and not have to project as much. They are already doing it on the college football field. Plug them right in and fix whatever misstep you might have taken in recruiting. Because whoever you are, he mentioned this, even Alabama, you're going to have players who don't work out. There's going to be situations where a guy you brought in is not what you thought you were getting. Happens to even Nick Saban. Maybe not as much, but it still happens. You can fix that with, hey, you, we've seen you, we like you, come on to Alabama. We're much better than that place you're at. Now, again, you got to do that quietly. They say no tampering, wink, wink. That's a joke. That is an absolute joke, this no tampering item. All right, Ole Miss Evie, top of the hour. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's heavy, but it's moving here on 65 as you make your way down past Trinity Lane. They're still up against the wall there at Trinity Lane northbound, trying to move that stalled 18-wheeler that's been there for about, well, it seems to be about 6 or 7 hours now. Traffic's on the increase up through Brentwood, Franklin 65, coming up past Concord Road. Hey, Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check out their flavors at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
NBA playoffs are here, and you're going to be in Hoops Heaven betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. So many exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level because new and existing users can bet risk-free throughout the playoffs. New users can get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Plus, once you have an account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every week. That means you can combine multiple bets for an even bigger win. Now, here's some examples. The money line, first basket score, blocks, all of that. And if you don't win, you get up to $10 back. Now's the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up. BKING as the promo code on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Introducing new Kraft sandwiches at Slim Chickens. Try our Chicken Club sandwich with crispy bacon and cheese, the Cayenne Ranch sandwich with fried onions and Cayenne Ranch mayo, the Buffalo Ranch sandwich that's tossed in spicy buffalo sauce, or the crispy chicken sandwich, which is anything but basic. Slim's lineup of four Kraft sandwiches. The choice is yours. Whether you're driving through, ordering online, or pulling up curbside, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
DQ presents... Picture this. Picture the Girl Scout Thin Mints Blizzard. You see two iconic treats blending together in a mesmerizing swirl of pieces of Thin Mints cookies, Cool Mint, and world-famous DQ Soft Serve. You smile the biggest smile you've ever smiled. It's a double smile because your two favorites, DQ and Girl Scout Thin Mints, are together in one delicious treat. And the only reason you stop smiling is so you can start eating. The Girl Scout Thin Mints Blizzard, exclusively at DQ. Get it delivered at DQ.com. DQ. Happy tastes good.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. A chance of thunderstorms throughout the day. Highs near 82. For tonight, still a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Low 71. For Friday, sunshine. Highs 84. Friday night, chance of thunderstorms. Lows around 71. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, my name is Rocky. Sports Radio WNSR.
Hashtag fat side up, tweet to Bill at Bill is King to enter the arena of ideas.
Water Assassin on Twitter points out, Bill, this may change, but Dabo doesn't take JUCO transfers and says he has no plans to take regular transfers either. Yeah, I mean, right now, his formula, Dabo's formula has been wonderful. He's competing for natties all the time. He's winning them, and he's competing for them every year. And he owns a league. His formula is... working quite well. This suggestion, maybe you'll have to adapt. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. I would be open-minded if I'm heading up a P5 or wherever, but P5 type situation or a high-level P5, I'm always searching. Think about it. They have created a talent stream that can help you overcome roster miscalculations, roster mistakes, players who don't develop, players who aren't what you thought they were going to be. And it's easy, particularly if you're one of the top teams. It's basically legalized stealing is what it is. You can poach left and right, man. And this thing about tampering, that's such a joke. Rob in the 210 says, Bill, if you're not tampering, you're not even trying. That's the future. He's right. He's exactly right. The NCAA is not policing hardly anything right now with all this new era that we're looking into in the future, and they're saying there's some rules involved with this. They're not policing any of this. If you are a school, are you real worried about some kind of tampering investigation from the NCAA? Wouldn't think so. Josh says Bill Dabo also ran into a pair of church shoes in the playoffs this last year. So the Buckeyes in the Clemson game put on church shoes. And as Black said, put up 50. The old church shoes thing coming back up on the show. Like I said, as many times as I went to church, particularly as a kid, we had to go every day at the Catholic school I was at. You went every day. Only day you didn't go was Saturday. You went every day before school, at the school, to Mass. Then you went on Sundays to your church. And I guess I had church shoes. I guess back then you didn't wear your basketball or your outdoor running around shoes. You had your more formal shoes. I don't think we ever called them church shoes, though. Black says he can put up 50, having not even practiced, and not only put up 50 easily, but do it in church shoes. Not shoes designed for athletic competition. He's ready for that moment at any point. Rod, a Buckeye in Texas. Bill, waiting for the announcement that the NCAA is moving to the four-year scholarship. Wouldn't that be in the best interest of the student athletes? Well, yes, it would be the protection, but once you go into the transfer portal, there are no guarantees. And I don't know if that's going to change. I mean, would you want that to change if you are the schools out there right now? They're not obligated to take you back, nor is anybody obligated to take you in. So I don't know. I don't know what. As Chris said earlier, the big names that we hear about in the transfer portal, whether it's Eric Gilbert, whether it's Henry To'o, whoever, okay? Any part of the country, those guys are always going to be okay. But the average Joe Schmo in the transfer portal is not so protected. And I don't think they understand that. I think they think we got a scholarship originally, so I'm going to leave here because it's not working out, and there'll be unlimited amount of people who want me. That's not necessarily the case. Tell Dane, I don't think we're going to have any time here, but we got time on the other side. Ole Miss Evie at the top of the hour coming up, but we've got another segment here in hour number two, and if he can hang with us, then we can pull him up and take his phone call. 615-844-5600, the F&M Bank hotline. We're broadcasting from the Strike and Spear Studios, Wilco location, Crazy Charlie in the Nashville, the 615 city location for the show. And on the golf course Monday, we'll talk a little bit more. The Hope Hines event is coming out. Jim and Jupiter, Bill, there is tampering. This thing is completely out of control. Yeah, well, the NCAA is not policing much at all. And I don't know what the future thinking of the NCAA is. I really don't know. But it's I guess, just hang on to your perceived power. Yeah, you think Alabama is worried about some kind of tampering rule? But I wouldn't think so. Hey, Kevin Hagan, speaking of Alabama, he'll be back with us tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Ole Miss Evie, top of the hour. One more break, hour two. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's heavy, but it's moving here on 65 as you make your way down past Trinity Lane. They're still up against the wall there at Trinity Lane northbound, trying to move that stalled 18-wheeler that's been there for about, well, it seems to be about 6 or 7 hours now. Traffic's on the increase up through Brentwood, Franklin 65, coming up past Concord Road. Hey, Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check out their flavors at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Hey Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Sonia, and it's time to put 2020 in the rearview mirror as I tell you all about Bongo Java. Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company now is also located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving up fresh, locally roasted coffee and fresh baked goods all day long. For me, it's all about the plain old grilled cheese, and I make it a soup and sandwich by adding the tomato basil soup each and every time. You just simply can't go wrong with it. Looking for something else? The pesto bomb will always steer you in the right direction. House-made pesto, spinach, onions, cucumbers, and tomatoes on your choice of bagel. Open at 7 days a week and brewing up till 2. Bongo Java adds to the great Omni Nashville Hotel experience. That's Bongo Java, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, coworkers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ. But it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today to find out for yourself with just one bite, with flavors like Oreo, cookie dough, and more. DQ. Happy tastes good.
It's a Bill King Show.
Getting to the sodium pentothal time, which would be the games, because there's nothing that replaces the games. You can practice all you want. The truth serum is the game. Practice is very important to sharpen your craft, but it's not where you get graded. You get your report card from the stats in the ball game.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Got biscuits, kitchen notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel does, and Bill King loves them all.
Take a call here. Then we lost him. Okay. No, dang. I'm looking at the Super Regionals. I don't think we've, and there's just, what, eight games? Or eight matchups. Not eight games, but eight matchups. Friday and Saturday, it's four games each day to start things off. Best of three here. On Friday, the Vanderbilt East Carolina series begins actually at 11 local time. That's got some Vandy fans ticked off. I understand them, because that cuts into their work, and some of them are having trouble getting out of work because they want to be over there at Hawkins Field for the game. Kind of an odd time there, but anyways, that game is noon Eastern, 11 Central, Vanderbilt, East Carolina. Apparently, East Carolina's pitcher is some big old kid who throws about 97 in this first game, if that's the kid they're starting. I don't know much about it, but East Carolina. Clay was telling me that the coach there is a former Vandy assistant. at under Corbin. Arkansas, NC State. Arkansas is the number one seed, and I think the best playing team in America right now. They get NC State. That starts at 6 o'clock Eastern time there in Fayetteville. Stanford and Texas Tech, that's in Lubbock. That's also on Friday. And Ole Miss, Arizona. Ole Miss EV will be with us top there. We're going to talk a little baseball and football with her. Ole Miss, Arizona in Tucson. That starts late on Friday night. 9 o'clock Eastern time, I believe, is what we're looking at on Friday night. Okay. Saturday, here are the matchups. South Florida against Texas in Austin. Dallas Baptist. That has become a heck of a baseball program, Dallas Baptist. They take on Virginia. Who else do we have here? LSU. Oh, there's your one. That one's going to get chippy. LSU in Tennessee. That starts on Saturday. And Notre Dame, Mississippi State. Notre Dame in Starkville. How about that for a matchup? Yeah, how about that for a game? The Fighting Irish, ranked number 10 overall, seeded number 10, however you want to look at it, and Mississippi State in there. And that starts as well on Saturday. How many Notre Dame Mississippi games? And I know that's Mississippi State, but I know in 1970, we've talked about this. What year was it? Was it the 77 National Championship team? I believe so. Didn't that team play? Jeff, too, I think, was looking this up for us a couple of years ago. It's already slipped my mind. I believe in 70, and somebody can correct me, in 77, Notre Dame won the Natty. And I think that year they lost to Ole Miss, played them in Jackson. I know Ole Miss is not Mississippi State. You know how many people, that is kind of funny, because you get outside the South, and the casual fan, not the knowledgeable fans like we've got in this audience, but the casual fan doesn't know the difference between Mississippi State and Ole Miss. In some cases, they don't. I know that sounds really weird and unusual. It's true. And if you ask Mississippi State or Ole Miss, that's highly offensive because they're enemies. They have the Egg Bowl. They're always competing against each other. You've got Starkville. You've got Oxford. You've got the stereotypes of both towns. Oxford's preppy. That's where the money goes. Mississippi State's more of a cow college. You know, again, stereotypes, not really, but the stereotypes of it. And maybe more of the blue-collar school is Mississippi State. You've got all those different, again, using the term stereotypes. But Mississippi State and the Fighting Irish. If you ask most Notre Dame fans, now I'm talking about the casual fan, not the real sharp ones, but the casual. Did they? If you just said Notre Dame's playing Mississippi, of course Mississippi would mean Ole Miss. But do they know the difference? I guess is my question. Butch says, we didn't call them church shoes. We called them dress shoes. That's true. I knew there was a term I was forgetting. That's a term we used to. Your dress shoes. Meaning your nice clothes. Not the church. Black brought the term back to the show, church shoes. Because he says he could put them on, not practice, return, get 50 at any point. I'm not doubting he could do that either. I am not doubting him. He's proven his worth many times on this show. Ole Miss Evie is coming up, top of the hour. Looking forward to this. You've heard her on this show many times in the past. You will hear her on this show many times in the future. She is outstanding. We'll talk a little baseball. We'll go Baby Kiff. Oh, yeah, Baby Kiff's got to be in there, too. Yeah, we'll get into all that. Maybe wrap up the spring a bit and just check in with Ole Miss Evie. We could talk snakes with Ole Miss Evie. No, I'm not kidding. All those pictures she posts about the snakes trying to get the birds. She's in Texas where there's a snake every 3 feet when you walk outside. Have to wear high boots when you live where she lives. Big ranch there in Texas, too. She has the rebel walk, though. Does a very good job with it, her and her staff. That's coming up, top of hour 3, Omni Nashville Hotel.